you take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 51. We'll read verses 51 and 52 this morning. The sound of the trumpet. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. A moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the trumpet shall sound. Sound of the trumpet. The next sound you're going to hear from heaven. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray you'd bless these words to our good and thy glory. Meet needs in hearts and lives. Then are you listening to our voice, either present in this audience today or somewhere in the United States or around the world, who have never as yet, in simple repentance and faith, received Christ as their Savior. I pray this shall be the day and the hour when salvation becomes their personal possession and they are passed from eternal life, eternal death, unto eternal life. I ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Music is a wonderful and glorious blessing of God. And I'm not sure whether you're aware of the important fact that music plays in the Bible. It can hardly be overemphasized. There are over 500, almost 500 references in the Bible to the subject of music. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is a book that is saturated with the worship and praise and singing and music. Now, all music can be divided into two categories. Vocal music, number one, and instrumental music, number two. The Bible has a lot of vocal music in it. Vocal music is simply the projection and communication of certain truths through the use of words that have been set forth to melody, harmony, and rhythm. By the way, I put that in that emphasis, melody, harmony, and rhythm, because the devil does exactly the opposite with it, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Melody, one. That's the melody, okay? Yes. Harmony, that comes second. I don't think you've ever heard some dear lady singing a solo using only the alto part, have you? Or how about a man singing a solo using only the bass part? No. Melody, harmony, and then rhythm. All music has rhythm or beat to it. But any music that puts the rhythm or beat first is out of place. And it's sensual, even if it sprinkles the name Jesus in it. Vocal music. Well, the Bible has a lot of vocal music. In Exodus, the 15th chapter, after Israel crossed the Red Sea, the Bible tells us that Moses and the children of Israel sang a song. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, after David heard of the death of Jonathan and Saul, he composed a song. In Judges chapter 5, after Deborah and Barak had defeated the force of Israel, the Bible tells us they composed a song. One of the books of the Bible, the book of Psalms, with its 150 psalms, has been called the hymn book of Israel because it's Hebrew poetry that is set forth to music. Hannah, when God assured her that she was going to have a child, he was going to answer her prayer, and God gave her son, the scripture tells us that she sang a song of thanksgiving. When Mary in the New Testament, in the Gospels, was informed of the coming advent and birth of Jesus Christ to be accomplished through her womb, the Bible tells us in Luke that she sang a song. One of the books of the Bible, in fact, is called the Song of Solomon, one of the 66 inspired canonical books. In Matthew chapter 26, the Lord Jesus last night before his death on the cross, his last Passover supper with his disciples, the scripture states, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out onto the Mount of Olives. And Paul and Silas, as they were there imprisoned in the stockades, as it were, in the bottom of that damp, dark, dirty dungeon there in Acts the 16th chapter, the Bible tells us at midnight they sang praises unto God. The Bible is full of vocal music. But the Bible also has a lot of instrumental music. Now, in the Scripture, there are three types of instrumental music. You find the stringed instruments, the harp, the psalm, and the psaltery, the wind instruments, the flute, the pipe, and the trumpets, and the percussion instruments, the timbrel, and the cymbals. In Psalm 150, the psalmist lists seven types of musical instruments: the trumpets, the psaltery, the harp, the timbrel, the stringed instruments, the organ, and the cymbals. But without a doubt, beyond question, the most important of all of the wind instruments in the Bible, in the Scripture, is the trumpet. Now, the trumpet played an important part in the life of Old Testament Israel, and it has tremendous spiritual significance as you come to the New Testament. For instance, in Exodus the 19th chapter, when God was about to meet with his people and speak to them, a trumpet was used to announce that event. It came to pass, Exodus, the Bible tells us, in the third day and the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people was in the camp trembled. Now why? Because the verse says, next verse, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. When God wanted to meet with his people, it was announced by the sound of a trumpet. In Numbers, the 10th chapter, when it was time for the children of Israel to move on in their journeys, God instructed Moses to make two silver trumpets for the purpose of calling the assembly together to inform them of their impending move. The next move was always announced with the sound of a trumpet. In Leviticus chapter 23, when God desired to call the people together for special feast days, those convocations, those gatherings, those assemblies were always heralded by the sound of the trumpets. In fact, one of those seven feasts is called the Feast of Trumpets. In 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 13, when the announcement of the arrival of his new king was made, it was announced through the use of trumpets as what we would call today on the capitol or castle steps. So as you consider the Old Testament, you discover that there were two major uses of a trumpet in the Old Testament. One, as a summons to war. Two, as a summons to worship. As a summons to war, the trumpet symbolized judgment. As a summons to worship, the trumpet symbolized joy. As a summons to war, in Judges chapter 7, remember Gideon's band of 300? They took the pitchers in their, the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand. And they blew those trumpets and they broke the pitchers, summoning to war. In Ezekiel 33, when the Babylonian enemy army was approaching, God said, Ezekiel, I want you to stand as a watchman on the city wall and warn the people and blow the trumpet. Let them know that war, that judgment is coming. And in Amos chapter 2, the trumpet was to be heard throughout the battle. In fact, the trumpet was heard before the battle began. It was heard during the middle of the battle. And if victory was won, it was heard at the conclusion of the battle. Trumpet was very important when it came to the subject of war and judgment. Now, that has a spiritual significance. Because the moment you become a Christian, you get a trumpet summons to war. You are called to go against the war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You automatically become enlisted in the army of God. You become a soldier, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. And this war is a lifelong war for every one of us as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, get this. The Christian life is not a playground. The Christian life is a battleground. And in this battle, it's a lifelong battle. There are no furloughs. There are no retreats. There are no truces, and you never make any peace pacts with the enemy. Your enlistment period begins at the moment you are saved and concludes either with the coming of Christ or the time when the Lord takes you home to glory in death. Now, we're living in a day and age when men are beginning to tire of sounding the trumpet. They are laying down their arms in retreat. We're living in a day and age of silence and softness concerning the trumpet. An attitude of softness is being displayed concerning the mandated defense of the faith, and an action of silence is being demonstrated toward many defectors of the faith. You know, it's not always what you say that tells what you believe and who you are. It's what you don't say. New evangelicals cannot always be identified by what they say, because sometimes they say a lot of good things. Okay? You can read a lot of good things by new evangelicals, but it's more what they don't say that identifies them. Now, the sad thing about it is men and movements and organizations and colleges and seminaries and ministries that used to warn against the trends are now warming to those trends. There is a muting of the trumpet in the so-called fundamentalist battle camp today. But my Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, would say, this charge I commit unto thee, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before of thee, that thou by them mightest be able to war a good warfare. Timothy was called to be a warrior, to sound the trumpet, not to mute it, but to blow it as loud as he could. Well, the trumpet in the Old Testament was used as a summons to war. But secondly, the trumpet was also used as a summons to worship. In Exodus, the 19th chapter, when God wanted to proclaim the Old Testament law, he did that by the announcement with a trumpet. In Leviticus chapter 25, when that great 50th year of Jubilee came after the seven sevens of years, that year when all of Israel was experiencing complete freedom and joy, that year of Jubilee was announced by the sound of a trumpet. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, when the ark finally approached its proper resting place, it was announced with the sound of a trumpet. And as we already mentioned, when the appointment and anointment of a new king was made, it was always done with the sound of a trumpet. So, you summarize it up in the Old Testament, two things. The trumpet symbolizes war and worship. It symbolizes judgment and joy, seemingly opposites, paradoxes. Say, preacher, can a song and a sword go together? Oh, yes. Psalm 149, verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. I want to tell you, the happiest, most joyous, believing saints on the earth are singing Christians who are going forth to war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We go rejoicing. We go, how can the world, you fundamental Baptists, we can't figure you out. I mean, you're so narrow-minded. You seemingly seem to be so, well, what they call bigoted. And you're always fighting. But boy, I tell you what, we sure don't like to hear you sing. Amen? Nobody can sing like fundamental Baptists can sing. Amen? Oh, to sing. I love to sing. My wife says, and this is just about a fact, everything she says, I have a song for her. No matter what she says. You come with me afterwards and start talking to me, and if I want to, okay, I'll try to reserve myself in this case. But normally, I would answer with a song, a verse from a song. Now, all of this background becomes important and significant when we come to the New Testament and the doctrine of future events. For I believe the next prophetic event on God's time clock is the rapture of the saints in the air. And that event will be announced with a shout from heaven, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The next sound you're going to hear from heaven, ladies and gentlemen, is the sound of a trumpet. Now, what does that trumpet mean? What does it signify? As we find it here in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58, and in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. What does it signify? What does it represent? First, the sound of the trumpet represents a testimony. A testimony to fulfill prophecy. You recall that in the Old Testament there were hundreds of prophecies concerning the first advent of Christ. In Genesis 3, prophecy that he would come as a redeemer out of the seed of the woman. In Genesis 12, that he would come out of the seed of Abraham. In Genesis 49, that he would come out of the tribe of Judah. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, that he would come out of the family of David. In Isaiah 7, that he would be born of a virgin. In Micah 5, that his birth would be in Bethlehem. In Micah 3, that there would be a forerunner who would prepare the way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Zechariah 14 predicts that one day he would ride upon a colt in Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. And Psalm 34:20 even predicts that when he died, not one of his bones would be broken. Now, when he came and those prophecies were fulfilled, they were a testimonial to the fact of fulfilled prophecy. And when the rapture trumpet sounds, ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be a testimony to fulfilled prophecy. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation, Hebrews 9:28. Yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry, Hebrews 10:37. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Now remember that in Leviticus 23, the calling together of the congregation for a special feast, the assembling, the coming together, was always announced by the sound of a trumpet. And one of these days, when that convocation takes place in the air, when that great assembling occurs, it is going to be announced by the sound of a trumpet. The sound of the trumpet, first of all, represents a testimony. Secondly, the sound of the trumpet represents a translation. That word, we shall all be changed, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about that, says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There are three Greek words in the New Testament that are used for change. The first is the word translate. Comes from the Greek word methistomi. It means to change by removing. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, hath removed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. One of these days there is a company of living saints that are going to be instantaneously removed. One moment they'll be on this earth and the next moment they'll be removed to glory. The second word that indicates this word translation is the word for transform or transfigure. It comes from metamorpho or metamorphe or metamorphosis. It means to change into another form. It means a drastic change. Okay, maybe you've seen, I'm sure you have, in the springtime, an ugly caterpillar. Ugliest thing, you ever stepped on one? Okay. Ugliest thing in God's creation. But at the proper time, the proper moment, that cocoon, that shell, sheds. And out of that ugly shell, there arises a beautiful multicolored butterfly. A metamorphosis, a drastic change has taken place. Okay? Now what you're looking at today is an ugly caterpillar. What do you think I'm looking at? It That's the real you you saw in the mirror this morning. The real me I looked at, okay. But I want to tell you, a drastic change is going to take place. Now, the third word is the Greek word alasso, and it means to make as it other is than it is now. From the corruptible to the incorruptible. This body is now corruptible, okay? I take so many color pills, they can't make another color. Okay? I think about 10 of them I take every day now. And I even like to go back to the doctor and I said, no, doc, no more pills, please, okay? But one of these days, that's all going to change. Amen? Oh, I'm not going to need to go to any doctor. I'm not going to see any physician. And I'm not going to go to any pharmacist. Amen? Because when the Lord comes, when that translation takes place, the bodies of believers are going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. By faith, the Bible says, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. It was not found, but before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Thirdly, the sound of the trumpet not only represents a testimony and a translation, but the sound of the trumpet represents a termination. I am a dispensationalist, always have been. My teeth grew strong as a little lad on dispensationalism. My pastor was an old-line, biblical, premillennial dispensationalist. And from earliest childhood, I learned, studied the scriptures from a dispensational standpoint. Now, the word dispensation simply refers to different periods or epochs of time in which God works. And God works in different ways during different periods. There are at least seven dispensations. I think maybe I can make a cause for an eighth, if you really want to make an eighth one. We are now in the sixth dispensation or period of human history. It's called the period or dispensation of the church. For 2,000 years now, we've been in this dispensation. Okay? Inaugurated formally at Pentecost, this dispensation. Now the Holy Spirit has been calling out of people for His name for nearly 2,000 years, called the age of grace sometimes, the age of the completed Word of God, the age of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, many terms for it. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, Acts 15:14, to take out of them a people for His name. And for 2,000 years now, He's been taking them out of sin, out of society, and calling them into the church, to His body. Thank God for the church and for the visible expression of that, like we see here today, the local church, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, this age and this dispensation is coming to a termination. You go to Greater Philadelphia Airport, and there's a sign that'll say terminal. That means terminus. That means where the flights end. Okay? Now, one of these days, this age is coming to a terminus, a termination. And I believe we have just about reached the termination of this sixth dispensation. And the termination of this dispensation will be heralded with the sound of a trumpet. And when you hear the sound of that trumpet, if you're living, you'll know that Jesus is coming for His bride in the air. The sound of the trumpet represents a termination. And if there was ever, ladies and gentlemen, a biblical plea or a biblical basis for reaching lost people, it ought to be that. We are nearing the end of this dispensation, folks. And when Jesus comes and the trumpet call takes place, our work is going to be forever over on this earth. If you're ever going to reach somebody for Christ, you better do it now. If you're ever going to pray for somebody to come to Christ, you better pray now. If you're ever going to pass out gospel tracts, you better do it now. Okay, last night, standing there at the restaurant, just waiting for Dr. Wayne. We won't go into that, all right? Well, we had a good time anyway. there was a lady sitting right there, and I had a track in my pocket. And I said, "Madam, I'd like you to read this." She said, "I sure will read it." That track, I've passed out hundreds of them. No one has ever yet refused this track. What if you were there? Got a picture of the 9/11 Twin Towers. And says, "What if you had been there, what would have happened to you?" I've asked hundreds of people, had a wonderful opportunity to witness to folks. Say, "You know, if you'd been in those Twin Towers, well, I guess I probably would have died." I said, "Then what would have happened?" Right. "Well, I don't know about that." Well, I said, "That track gives you the answer. It tells you how you can be ready anytime for death." Well, the sound of the trumpet represents a termination. Fourthly, the sound of the trumpet represents a testing. Yes, God's keeping the record books. He's the great examiner. He's the great accountant. And the first thing that's going to take place after the rapture of the saints in the air is going to be the judgment, Bema, seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body according to it done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." 1 John 2, John says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, the Apostle Paul speaks about that Bema judgment seat. Where he says in 1 Corinthians the 3rd chapter, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones," that's pretty good stuff to build on. "Wood, hay, and stubble," that's not such good material. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what size it is." Oh, did I make a mistake? Yes, I did. It does not say what size it is. God isn't going to judge the Bible for Today Baptist Church by the number you had. He's going to judge you by the sort of work you did. Sunday school teacher, Christian worker, don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. God's not going to judge you according to the size of that class. He's going to judge you according to the work you did in that class. You know, Edward Kimball, I don't know how many men he led to Christ as a shoe salesman in that store, shoe store in Boston, Massachusetts, but I know one man he led to Christ, D.L. Moody. And more than 1 million people made professions of faith in 40-year period of D.L. Moody's evangelistic campaigns, okay? And I think Edward Kimball is going to have a nice reward in glory. Even I don't know how many other young men he led to Christ, but that certainly was a great victory. So the sound of the trumpet represents a testing. There's going to be an examination. God's going to open the books of our lives, and he's going to ask us, "What have you done with your life since you became a Christian?" Good question. What have you done with your life since you became a Christian? You know, there are two things you can do with your life. You can spend it on yourself, or you can invest it for him. I know I don't have a whole lot of years left behind me, okay? I'm a young man yet, you know, okay? Right? Okay. All you folks that are older than I am are saying that. Okay. Okay. But I know that most of my life is on this earth is behind me. I tell you what I got left, I want to invest for him. Amen. I don't want to spend it in myself. I want to invest it for his glory. How about your life? What are you going to do with it? Fifthly, the sound of the trumpet represents a tribulation. The moment that trumpet sounds, this age will come to a conclusion. It will come to its terminus. And this world will be ushered into a seven-year period of time called the tribulation period. After this I look, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, "Behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were the sound of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come out, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter." That symbolizes something. The trumpet sounds There is a body of living believers who are going to be called up to meet with the Lord in the air. And then this world will be ushered into a seven-year period called the tribulation, the hour of temptation, which shall try them that are upon the earth. It is divided into two 3.5-year periods, the last half of which is called the Great Tribulation. Matthew 24:29 calls it the tribulation of those days. In the Old Testament, the Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble, because Israel is going to come under savage attack during the tribulation period. And I want to tell you something, all her friends are going to leave her, including the United States of America. Unfortunately, that's what's happening now. But God's got his eye upon her. During the tribulation period, 2/3 of living Jews are going to be martyred. They're going to be killed. They're going to be murdered. Only 1/3 is going to come out of that. But hallelujah, at the end of that tribulation period, all Israel, Romans 11:26, shall be saved. Well, it's going to be an awful time. Read Revelation. If you want to read something that's horrendous and awful, terrible, read Revelation chapters 6 through 19. I'm going to tell you, global warming is coming. Not now. Okay? Don't believe Al Gore's lies. Okay? But someday, you read about things getting hot on the earth during the tribulation. I mean, it's going to get real hot, folks. I mean, terribly hot. Okay? Now that's going to get dry. Dry and hot both. Whew. Just read about it. I mean, it's no Sunday school picnic I'm talking about. The whole world is going to be affected by it. Probably 2/3 of the world population is going to be, they're going to die. That period, that 7-year period, is called the tribulation period. Well, when that 7-year period comes to a conclusion, the Lord Jesus is going to descend from the glories of heaven, and the battle of Armageddon will take place. He will triumph over all of his enemies. That tribulation period will come to an end. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe the Bible teaches we will have tribulation. In this world, Jesus said, you shall have tribulation. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But do not confuse tribulation with the tribulation. If the Lord tarries and the present administration continues for 2 more years, hopefully not 4 more years, I'm going to tell you, by the end of that time, fundamental Baptists are going to be a persecuted minority. Right now, they are becoming that. In Dearborn, Michigan, 4 Christians loving God and wanting to witness stood on a public street where they have a public right to distribute gospel literature. There was a Muslim festival taking place about a block away, but they were on a public street with a public right. Dearborn police came and arrested those 4 young men, and they are facing today trial because they simply passed out gospel tracts on a public street. You know, and Congress, unfortunately, passed a hate crime act. They did that as a subterfuge. They slipped it into the military defense appropriations bill. A bill, hundreds of billions of dollars. Okay? And the only way you could vote against the hate crimes bill was to vote down the whole military appropriations bill. Now that hate crimes act is in existence today. And if things continue, it's going to be enacted against Bible believers. You stand up and speak against homosexuality, you're going to be accused of a hate crime. In Canada, they already have been. They have been jailed in European countries because someone gets up and takes his Bible and says the Bible is against homosexuality. Bible does not teach that. That's a perversion. How in the world? I can't figure this out. The only beings of any kind that exist that believe in homosexuality are human beings. The birds, the bees, the flies. I mean, the whales, even those big whales. You know what? They mate male and female. All of God's creation has a male and female. That's how they multiply. If homosexuals had their way, everybody would die. I mean, this would be the end of society. Okay? And every homosexual had a heterosexual father or a heterosexual mother somewhere along the way, otherwise they wouldn't be around. Okay? Now, but we live in that kind of world, and it's getting worse. Well, God's going to take care of all that. Okay? And the sound of the trumpet represents a tribulation. And when that tribulation seven-year period comes to end, Jesus Christ is coming to this earth, and he's going to set up his millennial kingdom. So the sound of the trumpet represents a triumph. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the Apostle Paul, writing in that last verse, said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Sound of the trumpet represents a triumph. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is going to triumph. I know how the outcome is. I know the outcome, folks. I know who's going to win. I want to tell you something. I'm on the winning side. It's only a matter of time until the devil's destiny, until he meets his doom. He's the defeated. He had the preacher. He doesn't have much time left. That's why he's working overtime, as it were, because he knows his time is short. Many years ago when I was pastoring in Onaway, Michigan, and they asked me where it was, I used to say Onaway up north. Yeah. 45 miles southeast of the Straits of Mackinac, not too far from where pastor's wife had a sister. Wasn't the sister? Was there, right there near Onaway, Michigan for a few years. I pastored there for a number of years. And there was a dear brother in Christ, Brother Perkins. Walt Perkins was his name. He's still living. Still has been supporting me, now in his 80s. And he bought an old boat that had sailed the Great Lakes, a wooden boat, that had sailed the Great Lakes for many years, and it began to wear out, diminish, rot, as it were. A wooden hulk started, deteriorating. So he bought it, but it was good enough to sail on the Black River up near Onaway, Michigan. And one day he invited my wife and son and I to take a ride with him in that boat on the Black River. And we were having a great time. He had his little granddaughter, then 3 or 4 years old, with him. She was standing at the hulk of the boat, you know, the bow of the boat, where it meets like this. And she was looking over the hulk of that boat. And all of a sudden she yelled back, "Granddaddy, Granddaddy, Granddaddy, guess what? We're splitting the water in two." And I thought to that, I said, that, you know, that little girl didn't realize, but someday we're going to split the air in two. Okay? When Jesus comes, okay, we're going to, he's called the Prince of the Power of the Air, isn't he? And we're going right through that when we the rapture takes place, so we're going to split his kingdom in two, at least for a little while, okay? And it represents a triumph. Hallelujah. The best is yet ahead for the people of God. We are on the winning side. Hallelujah. May I say, finally, the sound of the trumpet represents a throne and a tabernacle. In Revelation chapter 21, the scripture says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Think about that for a moment. "And he will dwell with them, And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with their God and be their God. The tabernacle of God permanently with men. For 33 and a half years, the Lord Jesus Christ lived on this earth. God the Son was present, and God dwelt with mankind personally for 33 and a half years. And he died on the cross, rose again, 40 days later, ascended up to heaven. But he's coming back, and the scripture says here that someday God is going to dwell permanently with his people. He shall dwell with them. He'll make his permanent dwelling place forever with his children. What a delightful and comforting thought. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The best, folks, is yet ahead for the children of God. We await the future, and when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, that is when the trumpet's called, I'll be there. Ladies and gentlemen, the next sound you're going to hear from heaven is the sound of the trumpet. Are you ready for that sound? If it occurred today, would you be caught up to meet the Lord in the air? Would you be left behind to face the horrible, awesome devastation of the tribulation period and then the great white throne judgment where he will say unto them, I never knew you. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, oh, thank God my name was written in that book. October the 25th, 1944. As a young lad in the Van Dyke Baptist Church in Warren, Michigan, I remember that night, Mac McDonald, not the Mac from used to live in Philadelphia, but the Mac that used to live in Michigan, superintendent of the Port Huron Rescue Mission for many years, was preaching that night on John 3:16. The little lad heard that call from God, and he responded, came down to the front and knelt, and his Sunday school teacher, who was playing the piano, left the piano. Ida Witt was her name. She came down and put her arm around that little young lad and led him to Christ. And I'm waiting the sound of the trumpet if the Lord tarries. He's coming, folks. He's coming. And I'm going to meet him either in death or at the sound of the trumpet. Are you ready? And if you are you living with that trumpet in mind? What are you doing with your life? Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. To an audience here, perhaps around the country and around the world today, since this is being broadcast, telecast on the internet, I'd like to ask you a question. If that trumpet were to sound today, would you go up? Would you meet the Lord in the air? Are you saved? You're either saved and on your way to heaven, or you're lost and on your way to hell. There's no middle ground, folks. I want to ask you, are you saved? Both here, those listening by internet, watching by internet. Are you saved? Maybe there's someone here today. You'll say, Dr. Jasmine, I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I've never been saved. I have never in simple repentance and faith trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have never been born again. I may not understand it. I may not comprehend it. But what most everyone else in this service and those who are listening has experienced, I'd like to experience today myself. I'd like to be saved. I'm not ready to meet God. But I'd like to be ready. In simple repentance and faith right now, I'd like to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior from sin. If you're willing to do that, would you just slip up your hand and let us remember you in prayer right now? Anyone? Anywhere? Just slip it up. Though I can't see you on the internet, if you're listening, watching, right now, Why don't you just pray that sinner's prayer? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. And he will if you come to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you for this blessed and glorious and wonderful hope that we have, that Jesus is coming again soon, we believe. Imminent, any moment, any time, he could appear in the skies for those who are living and are saved. Thank you that even if we die, our life terminates on this earth before he comes, that we will be transported instantly by the angels of heaven to eternity's shore. Thank you in Jesus' name for this wonderful and great and blessed hope. Amen.